Have you ever felt the weight of being labeled all over the place because of your many passions? If so, let me ask you this. Are you ready to break free from the shackles of societal norms and boldly showcase your ability to innovate and turn vision into reality? Can you imagine aligning your passions, purpose, and profession without compromise? Well, you're not alone, and you're in the right place. I get it because I am you. I'm Jatia Jones of Jatia Jones Consulting, and I've walked the path of a multi-passionate. Welcome to the Confident and Courageous Clarity Podcast. Join me for inspiring conversations with multi-passionate CEOs who've turned their diverse passions into a force for change. We dive deep into our collective experiences, sharing invaluable lessons, and providing you with a strategic roadmap to manifest the life and business of your wildest dreams. This isn't just a podcast, it's a movement. And I'm not just your podcast host. I'm your partner in this dynamic journey. You, me, and the incredible community of multi-passionates. Get ready to unlock the confidence, courage, and clarity to help you become the world-changing multi-passionate CEO you were destined to be. Evelyn is an anti-diet wellness coach and transformational speaker. She guides clients in shifting the focus from chasing a perfect body to healing their relationship with food, relearning to trust their instinct and intuition, and laying a solid foundation of health for generations to come. Let's jump into this week's episode.
Good morning and welcome back. This is not your first rodeo on the Confident and Courageous Clarity podcast, but I'm so excited to have you back because as we know, life evolves, business evolves, people evolve, and things have evolved. And so with that being said, please tell the people who you are and what you do today.
Well, okay, so my name is Evelyn Levasseur, and this is my second time here. I am an anti-diet wellness coach that helps women truly stop trying to shrink their bodies and instead connect with who they are, all of who they are, and take up all the space. I come from a huge background in dieting and shaming and guilting myself through life, always wanting to be fitter, smaller, better, prettier, whatever, all the things, always wanting to be something other than what I was, being rooted in what I was wasn't enough, right? So 19 years of trying and failing at all the exterior options of change forced me to go inside and really start to look at not the food relationship, not the physical health part, but to look at what was causing these issues. And the answer was, it was a self relationship concern. And then, you know, that's what kind of led me to find that food relationship has very little to do with food, that as women, we're kind of taught to seek validation, acceptance, belonging from other people. We're not really taught to trust ourselves or our instincts. We question everything about ourselves and think that the answer is to keep doing more and more and more. And then ultimately leaving ourselves burnt out, neglected, not accepting ourselves, and really wishing that other people would see us, but we kind of don't see ourselves. So that's where I step in and help you see that nothing that you want in life can be provided by somebody else. You already have it. You just have to acknowledge it.
That's good. That's really good. Because I literally just posted something this morning about we try so hard to prove ourselves to everybody else so they can see us, so they can accept us, so they can show up for us how we show up for them. And that's like our deepest, darkest, hidden desire. But like you said, we don't see us. Mm-hmm. And so therefore we show up in a manner less than who we actually know we are. Because we, you know, two things can be true at one time. You can know, however, you don't truly see the real value in you, even though you know you're valuable. And so you show up differently to yourself and to others. So that is a whole word. So my friend, you are now on a kick. I'm already going to just manifest to say a tour, a mind your business tour. And I'm so excited about it. And what does mind your business? What is that? And what does it look like?
So we think that minding your business is just like a rude way of telling somebody like, get out of my business, right? Say, don't give me your opinions. Don't share those things, or telling yourself, mind your business. I don't need to share. But I really believe that we were born knowing exactly what we wanted and needed. Like as an infant, you're going to cry until you get the thing that you need, whether it be food, water, a cleaning, or just some love, right? You're going to scream till you get the thing. And then when you get it, you're going to relax because you know what you want and need. But it is other people. It is our parents. It is society. For us now, it is social media. It is all these outside factors that silence that instinct, silence that intuition, make you second guess the thing that you thought you wanted or the thing that you thought you needed, make you feel guilty or selfish for wanting to take care of yourself. And I'm not just talking about manicures and pedicures. I'm talking about being able to sit down and get some rest mentally. All those things are other people's business. If you're living your life because your parents said you should be on this path, that's your parents' business. If you're living your life in guilt and shame because the church, my old church taught me, you know, a lot about guilt and shame. Well, it taught me mostly just about guilt and shame, nothing about relationship, but caring that is, right? That is the church's business, you know, trying to like compare yourself to people on social media. That's like social media society's business. Every single thing that you're focusing on that gives you an external validation is not your business. Your business is what you feel, what your gut is telling you, what that inner pull is screaming to you, that thought that you can't let go of, that constantly comes back to you. And then you shove it to the back of your mind because maybe there's a little whisper of, I can't, I shouldn't, I'm not enough. Maybe somebody's already done this. Like all those things that feel so strong to you inside, that's your business. And the only way to feel, I believe the only way to feel really fulfilled and whole and at peace in your body is to dig into the voice that is coming from you. That's minding your business. Get all in your business. When the nudge comes, ask more questions. Get real curious. Where's this coming from? Why am I feeling this? What is this telling me? How am I ignoring myself? What is it that my soul is screaming from the inside that my mind is shutting down? Get in your business.
Mm-hmm. And you know, it's this is so good because, you know, me, us, we are multi-passionates here at the podcast. And we are conditioned, I believe, since birth to ignore all of that internal and only do what the brain says. And the brain is telling you the last time we shared this wonderful idea, you know, we were shunned and shamed. We were embarrassed. We were told that we were insane and that's never going to happen. And why you and all the negative things. And so your brain is trying to keep you safe, right? And so you have gone years, if not decades, in ignoring this internal and rationalizing, even though this is screaming, you have all of you caged up in this cell and locked up, and you only let a little portion of you out because the brain says, we can't share that. We can't be that. We can't do that because that's not safe. And I love that you are telling everybody to unlock this cage that we've kept ourselves in for so long and get all up in your business. Be too much, be too extra, be all you are called to be, because the thing that I've learned is that, especially with family, they love out of fear. And that's why they never left the nest, is the analogy I'm using these days. And we know that we can soar so much higher, but we're afraid to leave those in the nest, the family, the friends, this, the that, right? That we just hover just a little bit, because we cannot just be still and sit in this nest. We're not made that way, right? But we clip our own wings because we don't want to leave them, because we feel selfish, we feel wrong, we feel shamed, right? Obligated, expected, right? That we never soar when once we go above, we feel lonely because we're the only one at that level. But I keep trying to tell all my multi-skilled, multi-passionate, multi-hyphenate individuals of the world that if you continue to soar, you'll find more of you. More of you who are going to help you soar, encourage you soar, show you new tricks. You can spin around and go upside down and not be dizzy and still fly, right? Because you chose, you were brave enough, confident, and courageous, like the podcast, to leave the nest and be you. And I promise you, 9 times out of 10, some of those people in the nest that were too afraid to leave because they saw you soar will then fly out of the nest as well. As scary as it may be, you had to be that first example. You had to be, in so many ways, when it comes to family dynamics, the generational curse breaker. And it's a lonely, hard, scary, courageous journey, but it's worth it when you mind your business. So I'm so excited about all of this minding your business.
I love that, Jadia, because that whole being the generational curse breaker feels like such a heavy burden, but I feel like you can lighten it by reminding yourself that doing things differently feels scary for you, but it also feels scary for other people. That's why they try so hard to rope you back into their way of doing things. But you continuing to trust your instinct, to trust you, to do things your way, you are literally planting seeds for them to give permission for them to do it. Like every time you step out in your discomfort and you do things a little bit differently, you kind of shine a light on possibility for them. So your road, your journey is literally planting seeds and watering their garden too, without you having to do anything active, without you having to be in their face about, you should be able to do something different. You should, I should live my life. If you literally live your life according to what feels good for you, you'll get pushback for sure. But also you're spreading light. Also you're showing others what's possible. Also you're helping break their chains without even talking about it. You're just living.
Yes. And another post I posted this morning, because I was just scrolling, I was like, oh, let's share. This is good, right? The girl was speaking in reference to relationships, like not platonic or family relationships, but what's the word am I looking for?
Like friendship, romantic?
Romantic relationship. That's the word. Thank you. but her sole thing, which is something that I've been saying a lot lately, is I will act accordingly. For so long, we try to prove and we're doing the yelling and it's like, but no, and da 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 da, and we're repeating ourselves and all of the things to try to get people on board, whether it is at work, in friendships, in romantic relationships, it doesn't matter the ship. You just have to act accordingly. Once you decide, this is who I am, this is all of me, I may be too much or too extra or too whatever, in corporate, they say too hard to deal with or work with, right? Or difficult to work with. That if you act accordingly. So if the job is not fulfilling, you find another one. If the relationship is not mutually beneficial, you let it go. You act accordingly. And so I thought it was so timely for me, because in my relationships, I've been saying, I'm going to act accordingly. If you do X, I'm not going to try to change you. I'm going to tell you, you know, this is how this makes me feel. This is how I would like to be treated. And you can act accordingly. And if you don't, I will act accordingly. Right. And so with you saying that, I was like, oh, that is so on point. And then I wanted to rewind really quickly, because I know some people are sitting here like, I know she just introduced herself talking about diet and all of that. And so let me connect the dots for you guys. Minding your business goes with dieting too, because 9 times out of 10, you were told that you got to eat all the food on your plate before you can get up from the table. You were told that you can't have a certain type of thing. So now that you're an adult, you overindulge in that thing. And minding your business is giving yourself permission to do what feels right for you and what's best for you. So that is her common thread. You guys hear us talk about it all the time on the podcast. But she also is very, very, very keen. She's an amazing coach, y'all. Not just for dieting, okay? Because she gets me all the way together and snatches all my edges and then tells me it's going to be okay after she snatches my edges. But it's all about minding your business at the end of the day. And so she helps get me in line to mind my business, literally and figuratively. And so I just wanted to connect those dots for people who, if they're anything like me, is sitting there like, now I know she just said, but how are we talking about other things in life and business, right?
Because it's all related. We think like, I'm struggling with weight XYZ. I have an issue with food. I can't control myself. I don't have discipline. I just need the right plan. I need to find what works for me. But every single time you say that, what you're saying inadvertently is, I need someone to give me the answers. But again, minding your business means you have the answers. You were taught to disconnect from your body. You were taught to ignore what you want and need. You were told, I mean, how many times as a kid were you told, like, you have to finish your dinner if you want to have dessert? So basically what you're telling me is that I have to, even if I'm full, finish this plate of food so that I could earn dessert. Meaning now sweets are rewards. Talk about that connection in your mind. When I am happy, when I am sad, when I'm upset, when I'm depressed, what do I need to do? I need to have sweets to make me feel better, because that's a reward, right? It's all about disconnecting from other people's thoughts and literally connecting with your body. Because whether you want to believe it or not, a lot of people say, like, I don't know how to listen to my body. What are you talking about with this woo-woo stuff? What does that mean? Listen to my body. You listen to your body all day long, except when it comes to food. When you have to use the bathroom, right? Do you follow a rule? Do you say, oh, Evelyn said I should only use the bathroom every 3 to 4 hours. I'm going to have to hold out. Or if you're thirsty, right? Do you say like, oh, I read online one time that you should only drink water before meals, so I can't be thirsty right now. Or if you're tired, right? Like, does your body, or do you say to yourself like, oh, I'm exhausted and I'm yawning and my eyes are watering, but Jatia said the ideal bedtime is 10 o'clock and it's only 9. I should not go to sleep yet, right? Your body sends you cues all day long and you pay attention to them, except when it comes for food, because food is the place where, first of all, there's so much money to be made out there. So why not put out false information, right? Like, why don't we as a society just teach people to ignore their bodies so we can get rich off of it? That's the way it works. Food is the only part of our lives where we are taught to disconnect from our bodies, to ignore ourselves, to trust other people above ourselves. So when I tell you minding your business means shutting everybody else down, I mean, it means shutting literally everyone, even me. I am certified in nutrition and personal training. I am certified in behavior change. I do not know your body better than you do. My job is to teach you to recognize it so that you don't need me or anyone else to tell you what's good for you. Mind your business.
Okay. I'm so excited about this. Because, you know, what I've realized too is with especially our purpose-driven visionaries out there who've been given this God idea And they have this burning desire that I have to create this thing, even if it doesn't exist, right? That it's difficult to mind their business because we've been conditioned to follow the playbook. Society has a playbook, and it's easy to reach achievement and success if we just follow the playbook. If we follow the rules, we can win this game. However, when it comes to you creating the blueprint, to you creating the playbook, you don't know how to listen to yourself because of all the things that you just said. And you feel like, I can't because that's wrong, because the playbook didn't say, or my career coach didn't say, or even like you said, Jatia didn't say. And so I try to explain to so many of my clients that I have customized curriculum. I'm showing you the path, but you have to do you. This is about bringing your dreams to life and making your dreams of today the reality of tomorrow. I know how to do that. I know the equation of transformation, but what that looks like for you is for you. I'm not giving you the money plan, the quick money. I'm giving you the plan, the dream transformation. That's the plan to win. I'm helping you create your own blueprint. But so many of us, because I went through that and experienced that as well, was like, for example, after quitting my job and going full-time entrepreneurship, it was like, okay, set work hours. No, my brain does not, I'm a freight train. It takes me a long to get going. But once I'm chewing, but if you stop me, it's going to take a lot to get me back going. So 9 times out of 10, I'm in the wee hours. Y'all could text me on the West Coast and I probably will be up, because that's when I've gotten the train back in motion, because I had to realize that's what works for me and not the culture of 9 to 5 or even the hustle and grind culture. I take naps now because I listen to my body. I listen to that internal gauge and do what is best for me, not how someone else has always done it. And, you know, being a Capricorn, they say we're cold-blooded and cold-hearted, however, karma. I tend to think that it is mainly minding my business. And I've made a decision that once you show me how you move, I will move accordingly, because that's minding my business. I have to prioritize me and everything else in order to bring excellence to my life and to everybody else. That is my assignment. Because like you said earlier, the expectation is a heavy weight. But also when you have this God idea or this assignment or this purpose on your life that you know this is what you are meant to do, that's a heavy weight that you don't take lightly. It will stress you out. It will cause you like to lose sleep. And when you start to put those things in place and mind your business, your priorities shift. When life, your priorities shift, which is the main trigger for me quitting my job. I was like, my priorities have shifted. F y'all and what you're talking about, because y'all are on some BS. You don't care about me. So who's going to care about me? And so things shifted and I started to mind my business, because that weight is heavy, but it's one that you know you have to execute, you know?
I think there's a part of it too that is like, you know, you kind of want these blueprints, you want these exact plans. Like even when I decided to like test out, and I say test out entrepreneurship, mm-hmm. because there was a part of me that was saying, I really want to do this. I feel really pulled to go in this direction. But there was that little quiet part of my mind that was whispering, but how about if you mess up? How about if you fail? How about if you ruin it? How about if you can't do this? So instead of seeking guidance and simultaneously trusting me to take the next best step, I invested in coach, after program, after program, because I thought they were going to provide me all the answers, which makes sense, because in the same way that I see women try diet after diet after diet, it's because we all seek organization. We all seek certainty. We all seek expertise. And every single thing that I just stated, that we're seeking the organization, the expertise, the certainty, the projected outcome, is rooted in the fact that we don't trust our own instinct. Of course, I'm going to go hire a coach and tell them, don't tell me to trust me. Just tell me what to do and I'll do it. Right? Same thing with when people come in and talk to me about food. Just tell me what to eat and I'll eat it. Me giving you, very strict plans, or me putting you on, even when I help business owners with social media planning and their marketing and such, it's always like, tell me what to do. And I can tell you what to do, but if it doesn't feel good to you, that energy is what you're putting out. So if you're walking around in confusion and you're walking around unsure of you, if you aren't really connected to you and your business, that's what you're putting out there, confusion. So I think that we want answers that are so clear because the steps we're taking are rooted in fear. Fear of failure, fear of letting people down, fear of whatever the fear may be. But the answer is yes, get the guidance, right? Guidance is beautiful, but ultimately take what you hear, take what you learn and implement it the way it feels good for you. And that's true in business. That's true in relationships. That's true in parenting. And that's true in physical health and mental well-being. Take what you learn and implement it in a way that feels good for you. Otherwise, it'll never be sustained.
Mm-hmm. And you know, that's the thing. I know when I first stuck my pinky toe out into the water of business and entrepreneurship, and what I paid for or invested in myself was $40 a month, y'all. And it was for templates to social media. And those templates did absolutely nothing for me because I was confused, right? And a lot of us don't want to invest in coaching because we're like, oh, they can't tell me what to do. When if you found the right coach, the right doctor, the right whatever, they guide you into doing what's right for you. So as a kid, I was asthmatic, like out the womb, right? And I had this doctor that my mom was taking me to, and he wanted me on every steroid, this, that, and the third. And I had a friend who was like, she took a step and she had an asthma attack. And I was like, she isn't even on all of this medication. Why do I need to be? And as a kid, I was like, this isn't right. But my mom was like, you got to do what they said and you'll be, no, I'm not. So I didn't. I didn't take half that medicine. She probably would be mad when she heard this because she wasted her money because I wouldn't take it. Just like even with my glasses, she was like, she told my brother and I, the more you wear your glasses, your eyes will get better because that's what the doctor said. My brother is blind as a bat. Now, he cannot roll out of bed without his glasses. However, karma me was like, something about that doesn't make sense. That doesn't feel good to me. And I only need my glasses for certain things in life. I can function without them. And so to your point, whether it's a doctor, whether it's a coach, whether it's your job, you have to listen and not look for the template that works for everybody else because everybody's not the same. Even if you got a twin, you guys are not the same, right? And so when it comes to even the reason why we want a template is because we feel like it is a fast track to success and achievement. You did it, it worked for you, so it's gonna work for me. I cannot fail. But in all honesty, if you're not minding your business, you're going to fail, even though you're following the path, right? Because you don't need an exact map. You need a guide. You don't need a cheat sheet. You need a tutor. Those are two totally different things, right? And so everything that you just said is so good because, you know, I'm on my personal becoming and my heart's desire is for everybody to mind their business so they can become who they've always felt deep down inside and they hid and they locked up. So you can have that personal and professional fulfillment because we try to separate them and say, well, I can only do this in that structure that is given by everybody else and not for yourself. So I love all of that. And you know, I can talk to you all day long. Mm-hmm. But I do want to ask you some questions.
Okay.
So My friend, you are amazing. And I know that you have things in the works and dreams of your own. So what is like one way that you want to change the world? What is that thing you want to turn into a reality?
I want to be able to help women see, just truly see themselves. Because it's not about, for me, it's not about just the woman. Like when I look at myself, and I spent so many years questioning everything about myself, to be able to look in the mirror today and just be like, I love you. Like I don't look at myself and see, like in the past, I think my cheeks were too round and my lips were a little crooked and I would, you know, focus on all that. And now I just look in the mirror and I see me. And I love all of me, who I am, the mother that I am, the wife that I am, but also just my heart. I love my heart. But the reason that's so important to me is not just because it feels good for me, is because I know that I'm instilling that in my children. I know that they're going to live their lives loving themselves, trusting themselves, listening to their gut, listening to their instincts, just living in peace and acceptance and stepping out knowing that they are light. And I think that every time I help a woman heal that part of her, I get to watch that ripple pass on to every woman or child that she interacts with too. So that's what I want to do.
Mm-hmm. We're creating light workers out here. I love this.
Right.
I love that because, and when I hear you say these things, I think it literally is a paradigm shift from dimming light to like emulating and really like expanding the light. Because one, the world is a dark place, especially today. And if we can do anything to create, because we all know who run the world, girls. And so if we can help one with that ripple effect, like the world tomorrow could be a brighter and better place. Like I'm excited about that. I really, really, really am. That's amazing. Okay. My next question for you. So have you ever felt like a black sheep? I know that I have. And how did that motivate you or defeat you in ways in life? Or how have you carried that into your realm of success today?
I will say that most of my life, I did not feel like a black sheep, because I lived with that mask on, right? Like I conformed to every environment that I was in because I wanted to be accepted and I wanted them to see me and I wanted them to validate me. But I gave them the things they could be proud of. I didn't see me. So I was constantly in a mask, right? So I always felt accepted, but I never felt at peace because it was like I was performing. Yeah. Where as I started my like inner healing journey and as I started to really see who I was, then that black sheep feeling started coming through a little bit, because sitting in a room with people that I used to laugh with all night and recognize these conversations are not for me anymore. I need mental stimulation. I need challenge. I need, like, when I recognize what actually made me feel good, it made me also recognize that the environments I was putting myself in no longer aligned with who I was or who I was becoming. So it had to be a choice of, do I continue to maintain this way of living and keep myself small, or do I search outside of this circle and find the people, the community, the energy that's going to help me be me.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's a really real thing. As you find your purpose and your priorities shift, you do feel that way. And then you find yourself shedding in a shedding season. And a shedding season is so painful because it's the people that you've been like ride or die for majority of your life, right? Some of them can be very, very close family members, as you know my story. And you have to choose to let them go. Because I always say it's not fair to make them vibrate higher just because you're on your journey higher. And it's not fair to you to stay lower and try to pull this heavy weight along with you. So just let it go. And if and when they want to vibrate, you could choose if you want to be there with open arms, but don't feel obligated or expected to do so. But it hurts. And it is a lonely, lonely journey. But that is interesting that you didn't until, because that mask was on. And so I love that perspective as well, because there are so many that struggle with that, because it's like, well, who am I now? Like, this is who I've always been. You haven't changed. So why does this feel? But it's because you've grown, right?
I think part of it too, that I think there's a part of me that doesn't feel that pain anymore, that pain of like, oh my gosh, I'm outgrowing all these friendships and outgrowing these relationships, and recognizing now that not everybody is meant to serve every part of me is important. Because in the past, like, to me, what I learned was family is everything, right? Your friendship is everything. Like, you have to keep these people close, and, you know, but like my husband, for instance, he's my best friend. We talk about everything, right? But when it comes to having questions for business or marketing or funnels or things like that, if I brought that up to him, his eyes would cross. So he can't be that person for me, right? So there are so many facets of Evelyn: mom, wife, woman, business owner, friend, sister. Like, he can't be a part of every part of me because some parts he can't relate to. So when I started looking at family members or even friendships in the same way, there's a part of me that is elevating. My mind is elevating rapidly. And as I do that, I am attracting people who nourish that. But also, I recognize that the love that I have for them hasn't changed. They just can't be a part of that part of me because they don't recognize that language. They don't think that way yet. So I can spend time with them in a way that meets my capacity. Maybe it is for shorter durations. Maybe it is I walk away from certain types of conversations, right? Like, my boundaries are different, but my love for them hasn't changed. And also recognize that their journey is their business and they will reach whatever potential they have on their own. And that's none of my business.
Mic drop. Whole word, friend. Whole word. Because so many of them will, well, in my experience, I'll speak for me, you know, say you don't love them. I love you. However, I choose to love you from all the way over here. Because the way you show love is not how I want to be loved. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So there's no reason, absolutely no reason, that I should accommodate the way you want to be loved, i.e. staying for the abuse and staying for you to talk to me in any kind of way, or staying for just the gossip and nothing that's elevating. Like, why? So yes, I love every facet of that. Okay. You've touched on so many points today, like so many things that I'm like, I want to continue, but to be mindful of your time. There's one thing that I want to do. You know, I'm always saying, help me, help you, help us. What's one thing that you want to do in the upcoming year that we can share with the people so the people can go and get you what you need and bring it back to you? What's a goal for
Evelyn? Big ask. My big, sure. big ask is, I have in my heart to hold two retreats, one for mothers and daughters, basically relationship retreats, minding your relationship. I see mothers and daughters, and I see a second one for couples. Relationship retreat.
So how can we help you make that happen?
For now, I say just continue to support mentally, emotionally, like my stuff, share my stuff, comment. People think that comments are just like for them, but comments help me grow too, right? When you comment on things and you share things, I get to learn different perspectives. It every time you interact with me, I grow a little bit more too. So I think right now my focus is the growth. And as I get more clear on my next steps, then I'll be putting that out there too.
Love, love, love. Okay. So you guys heard it. Oblige her ask. And I second that about comments. I'm like, I'm talking to y'all. Come back to me. And so, yeah, because I know a lot of people will DM and say, you know, that thing. And I'm like, please share it like with everybody. So, yeah, I love that ask. Okay. So tell the people where they can find you and all the good things. We're going to tag it in the notes as well. But yeah, let them know where they can come and play with you.
So I am on Instagram at It's Evelyn Levasseur, but my biggest playing ground is Facebook. I'm a lot more active on there. I love that we get a lot more interaction and conversation. So on Facebook, it's just Evelyn Levasseur. And then you can go to evelynlevasseur.com or evelynfit.com. They both lead you to the same site. And you can hop on my email list because we share lots of information on all things relationship and minding your business.
Love it, love it. Well, thank you so much, Mama Sita. This has been fun as always. It was really difficult for me to like tell myself in my head, shut up, don't ask that question because we ain't got that much time. But I appreciate your time. I appreciate you, your gifts, and your heart. And so thank you so much for playing with us.
Love you, love you, love you.
Thank you for tuning into another episode of the Confident and Courageous Clarity Podcast. I hope you found the incredible stories and insights shared to be helpful. Now, before you go, I want to take a moment to express my genuine gratitude to each and every one of you. Your commitment to aligning your passions, purpose, and profession is what makes this podcast community so special. If you resonated with any of today's episode, I encourage you to hit the subscribe button. By subscribing, you're not just joining a podcast, you're becoming a part of a movement that celebrates the brilliance of being multi-passionate. To amplify this movement, I need your help. Share this podcast with your friends, colleagues, and fellow multi-passionates. Let's create a ripple effect of empowerment and inspiration. Lastly, I'm eager to hear your thoughts. What stood out the most in today's episode? Drop a comment or share your takeaways on social media by using the hashtag Confident and Courageous Clarity Podcast. Your insights might just spark a connection or the clarity someone else needs. Remember, the power of multi-passionates lies in our collective journey. And by sharing our stories, not only do we inspire each other, but also break down barriers and redefine success on our own terms. Your support means the world, and together we're building a space where multi-passion meets purpose and dreams evolve into reality. Stay confident, stay courageous, and let's continue this transformative journey together. Until next time, keep thriving and becoming the world-changing multi-passionate CEO you were destined to be. If you're not a part of the community and desire to join us, click the link in the show notes or visit jatiajones.com/community.